Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Let's stand and sing this morning. It's Easter.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I hear His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to
seated.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, choir. Great way to start us off. We'd like to welcome you this morning. Happy Easter. We're glad that you're here. We traditionally start this service by saying, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right. You and the first service are pretty close competition there. They might have been a little bit louder, so we should probably do it again.
We should.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right. Good job. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here this morning. If you were here at the first service and the second service, good job. You get double bonus points for two services. What a blessing to be able to celebrate Christ's resurrection from the grave. And we have a lot going on in the service today. We have drama. We have singing. We have scripture memory. I'm not sure what else. We had the choir. We have a little brief message today. So I'm excited about this morning's service. It's going to be a great time together. I'd like to encourage you all. Hopefully you received one of these cards in the bulletin that you were handed as you came in. I'd love to have you fill this out for us. I won't stalk you, but we'd like to stay in touch with you. We'd like to be praying for you during the week as well. So if you want to write prayer requests on the back, we do pray for you, and we believe God answers prayer. So please fill this out. Give us your name and best way to contact you so we could stay in touch, and then also what you'd like us to pray for you. Does anybody not have a pen that wants to get that card filled out? Would you shoot your hand up? We have someone's going to come and hand you a pen to make sure that you can fill out that card. Anybody want to shoot your hand up? Need a pen? Don't want to embarrass anybody? Okay. All right. Please make sure this is filled out. You can either hand it to me or an usher on your way out, or we'll be receiving an offering at the end of the service, and you can just place this in the bag as it goes by. Again, welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue to celebrate Christ today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for coming to this earth in the first place and walking amongst us. Thank you for showing your love and your sacrifice by going to the cross for our sins. Thank you, Father, for sending your one and only Son. Jesus, we thank you that you conquered death in the grave by rising on the third day. And we pray that today, as we celebrate that, as we remember that, that our hearts would be stirred, that you would convict us and challenge us and encourage us. And may you be exalted and glorified in this service. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you and celebrating you today. We pray that each heart that is here today would be drawn closer to you as a result of being here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What's wrong, Gracie?
They're cutting band next year, and I just got first chair. They're getting rid of our counselor and three teachers, too. Dad, I'm scared of everything that's going on right now. Bran's dad was laid off, and they think they have to move.
Wow. Times are tough for sure. We don't know what will happen, but we do know someone who does know.
You're talking about God, aren't you?
Yes, I am. But nothing is out of God's control. Do you remember what Genesis 1 tells us?
Yeah, that God made the heavens and the earth.
And what else?
The sun, the moon, the stars, the oceans, and the mountains.
That's right. Even how the food chain is made up, all of the sciences that we're just now learning about, our bodies, God is incredible. He cared enough to give up his glory to be with us and to interact with us and to show us who he is. The world was corrupt when Jesus was here, and they accepted what we're accepting now here on earth. People didn't see it that way then, and he made a way for us to be saved from our sin. We just need to trust in him and believe in the Bible.
Oh, even though it didn't seem like he was in control then, it was still part of his plan, just like now.
He is still in control now. We just need to claim his promises and trust in him.
Sometimes it's hard to trust.
I know. Would you like to meet some people who had a hard time trusting Jesus also? Maybe we can learn something from them. All right, let's go take a walk.
You're never going to believe this. Our neighbors said that they saw the prophet get into a boat and go to the other side of Galilee. My family and I didn't have a boat, so Mother packed us a lunch. And we walked 7 miles to see the prophet speak. When we got there, there was a whole mountainside of people who came to listen to whatever this man said. Jesus was his name. And as I watched whatever this man said, people brought their sick. Sick people came to see what he had to offer. And he healed them. My siblings and I went off. They went off to go play. And, well, I wanted to sit and watch everything what this man said. After a while, it was getting close to dinner time. And the only thing I had was a basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I started to wonder, how could Jesus and his disciples feed all the people who were there? And so I kind of snuck up behind them to see and hear what they were going to say. And one of those disciples came to me and asked, could you give us some food? And I felt compelled to give my basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish, even though that it couldn't possibly feed everybody there, I still felt compelled to give it to him. And Jesus looked at me, smiled, and nodded. And he took the basket, and he gave thanks to God over this food. And he started passing out the 5 loaves and the fish to people. But it wasn't just 5. It was more. He just kept giving to people, and everybody ate. There was even several basket loads of fish and bread left that no one got to eat because everyone was full. That night, as I started thinking about how I gave my lunch to Jesus, I started to think, what would happen if I were to give Jesus my whole life?
Amen.
Just had the most confusing and profound conversation. It was with that young rabbi. I am Nicodemus, and I am a leader of the Pharisees. I have studied the Holy Scriptures for as long as I can remember. I've devoted my life to observing not only God's law, but the law of the Pharisees. I am known for my insights and for my teaching. And yet, something was missing. I felt incomplete, empty. I was curious about this man. Everywhere you go, people are talking about the miracles he has performed. And I am not unaware of the Old Testament that talks about his scene with the sellers in the temple. I needed to look at to meet this man. One look in his face, and I knew that everything they said about him was true. I was gracious and I was humble. I even flattered him in the hopes that he would acknowledge my position. But he looked straight into my heart. He looked into my eyes and he said, Nicodemus, no one will see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. I said, how can a man be born again? I am old. I cannot re-enter my mother's womb. I felt threatened. Had my whole life lived for God, been for nothing? I left. Jesus looked into my eyes and he saw my soul. I'm confused. I'm convicted. I am hopeful.
Amen. In the early light of creation's dawn, the Father held his alabaster jar. It gleamed with the beauty of the morning star and was scented with the fragrance of the rose of Sharon. It was his most precious possession. As his very wise eyes looked down the years that stretched out before, into the generations and centuries and ages and millennia, he knew. The Father slipped into the darkness of the world he had made and loved. The hands that held the jar with such tender, eternal love relaxed and opened as he placed the jar ever so gently on the small manger bed of hay. During the years that followed, the beauty and glory of the jar were shared and admired by those who had eyes to see. And then, with hands so loving and yet so certain, the Father once again picked up his alabaster jar. And on a hill so far away from his celestial home, a hill that was cold, barren, and bleak, swarming with an angry mob that was ruly, unruly, and obscene, the Father smashed his alabaster jar on a rugged wooden cross. As the contents of flesh and blood were poured out, the fragrance of his love permeated human history forever.
Let's stand and sing, Worship Jesus.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Sin was white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross house at the cross. I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin was white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin was white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you.
I shared this song at the first service as well. If you get to hear it again, maybe that's special too. But I stand here amazed that I'm still here to sing for you. And so let me share this.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. In the midst of angry men, then I heard the crowd cry out, worshippers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. And then I heard the crowd cry out, we The people gave him one. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I can still hear the angry voices screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." I scarce believed my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down, he's on his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "You carry his cross." At first, I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword, and so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his hands and feet. And yet upon the cross I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. And to thy hands I commit my spirit. He prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest one say, "Father, please forgive us."
I'm watching the Lamb today, and I invite you to do the same. I'd like to share the resurrection story with you from John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she ran to Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken our Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've put him." So the disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent to look in and saw the linens lying there, but did not go inside. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He saw the linens and the burial cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. It was folded by itself, separate from the other linens. Finally, the other disciple also went inside. He saw and believed. The disciples did not yet understand from the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. So they returned to their homes, but Mary stood by the tomb crying. As she wept, she looked up and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They said to her, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "They've taken my Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've put him." At this, she turned and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've taken him, please tell me where you've put him, and I will go get him." Then he said to her, "Mary." She turned and answered him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Then he said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my disciples and tell them that I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." So she went to the disciples with this word, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them all that he had said to her.
Through his death, the veil separating us from the presence of God was torn in two from top to bottom. God himself opened up the way for us to enter his holy presence. Through prayer, he forgives and forgets. He creates and cleanses. He restores and rebuilds. He heals and he helps. He reconciles and he redeems. He comforts and he cares. He lifts and he loves. He is the God of the second chance, the slim chance, the no chance. Through prayer, we are invited to come into his presence for love, for acceptance, and for forgiveness.
Come behold the wondrous mystery. Let's stand and sing.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ the condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, he the perfect Son of Man. In his living, in his suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of running sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured.
love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of love. But no grave could e'er restrain him, praise the Lord, he is alive. But a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, when we will be when he comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes. You may be seated.
I have been into our Lord's presence, and I will never be the same. There is no sin so vile that his blood does not cover, no life so lost that he cannot save. Gone are the chains of sin and guilt. When we have experienced personally the completeness of his love, power, forgiveness, and his grace, how can we but want to pour our love and praise to the only one who has made the way for us to be reunited with the Father?
There's no way to sing I Exalt Thee sitting down. Let's stand.
For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord.
You may be seated.
After Peter's dismal display of loyalty on the night of Jesus' arrest, his spirit had to have been shattered by guilt and a bitterness. He had betrayed Jesus, not once, but three times that night. In his misery and humiliation, he isolated himself from the rest of the disciples. But early Sunday morning, when the women discovered the empty tomb, they were instructed by the angel to go tell the disciples and Peter. God made a special effort to tenderly reassure Peter individually that he was not only loved by God,
but that he would be used by God as a channel of blessing to others. Could Peter have had a hard time getting over his failures? Jesus had forgiven him. But could he forgive himself? Peter desperately needed to be restored. Do you need to be restored? With the other disciples quietly listening, Jesus turned and spoke quietly to Peter, with complete understanding and love. He gently questioned Peter. "Simon, son of John," he asked, "do you love me?" "Feed my sheep." Our shepherd was giving Peter a purpose. "Take care of my people. Teach them of me, of heaven, of eternity." Our Lord gives us the same commission. Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to serve him? In your home? At your job? With your friends? At school? May our prayer be, "Here I am, Lord."
Let's remain seated as we sing, "Here I Am."
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Here did I, Lord.
The God who spoke all things into existence, the God who hung the moon and the stars in the sky, who parted the Red Sea, the God who became flesh so that we could identify with him, the God who conquered death, the God who ascended into the clouds to sit at the Father's right hand, is still in control. Nothing is happening today that he does not have complete control of. What the disciples witnessed 2,000 years ago tipped their world upside down. But those events were not only planned, they were written about centuries earlier. Without that unbelievable plan, our eternity would be lost. Now he gives us a choice to have a relationship with him. If we do now, besides our assurance of eternity with him, we will have a quality of life unsurpassed, whether we do or not. This is certain. Someday, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us. In your bulletin, just as the ushers come forward for our offering, you have a paper, about an announcement about a new class we're going to do for the next 5 weeks. We've been learning about what our Heavenly Father did for us today through His Son. But this is a class for parents and for grandparents and for those that are involved in kids' lives. It's something we believe as a church we really want to support and pour into. And so for 5 weeks, there's five different teachers on five different topics. So that lists that for you in the bulletin. But it's one class, just five different teachers. So I'll read that and hope that you can join us. This morning as we take our offering, if you've filled out a card to let us know how we can pray for you, if you're a guest, it lets us know a little bit about who you are. And so we can, like Pastor said, he can follow up with you and stay in touch with you. If you would drop that in the offering now, that would be great. As we take the offering, it's for those who regularly attend. If you're a visitor with us this morning, you don't need to worry about that. You can just let it go by you. We will pray now for this offering and bless it from the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a chance to celebrate the resurrection of your Son. We thank you that you loved us so much that you allowed him to come and die for us. We thank you that he didn't stay dead, but we serve a risen Savior. God, we have life and joy and peace and hope because of what you've done for us. We thank you for the provisions you've given in our lives. And as we take this offering now to give back to you and to say thank you for what you've done for us, we pray that we do it out of joy and out of peace and out of a heart for you. We thank you for it and may it bring you glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Marilyn. This is going to come as a shock because we did it in the first service too, but we want to thank Marilyn today. So you can actually keep them this time. Yeah, you can keep them this time. Yeah. Thank you. This was a little bit of a different couple of weeks leading up to Easter this year. I was gone in Arizona for a couple of weeks, and Justin and Elizabeth and a number of our teens were in Mexico on a mission trip. And so Marilyn was willing to step up to the plate and put together this whole service for us today. I'm really grateful for that. It really took a load off of my mind, and so we really appreciate Marilyn. And thank you, Larry, for being a big part of it, too. We appreciate it, and we're glad that you're still here to be able to do that for us. I just wanted to take just a couple of minutes and share a few thoughts. Marilyn was in charge and only gave me 5 minutes, so we're going to see how that works. But we'll do the best we can. You've heard a lot today already about that Easter story, and you heard from Nicodemus and his encounter with Christ, and you heard from the boy that gave his lunch, right, the loaves and the fish, and his experience there. And he asked a profound question of himself. If you noticed at the end of his message, he said, "I thought to myself, if he could do that with my lunch, what could he do if I gave him my whole life?" And that's kind of the question. I didn't plan this because I hadn't actually heard him say that yet until this morning. But that's really the question I want you to consider today, is what could Jesus do if I gave him my whole life? I've been reading a book recently by Francis Chan called Multiply, and it's about what it means to be a disciple. And the first chapter asks this question, what is a disciple? And I want to ask you to think about that a little bit. What would it have been like to have been one of those early followers of Jesus? Consider Matthew, the tax collector. Besides the fact that everybody hated tax collectors, he was getting wealthy on his occupation, sitting at the table, collecting money, usually doing it in an unjust way, I'm sure, like the tax collectors did. He was receiving a lot of income, and suddenly Jesus Christ comes to him and says, "Follow me." Besides the fact that that would shock every other rabbi and any other religious person, imagine what it was like for Matthew to leave that wealthy occupation, that position of power over other people, and say, "I'm going to leave all that behind and follow Jesus." He had a completely transformed life from that point on. And we see even a story where he invited a bunch of his tax collecting sinful friends to a dinner, to a meal, and Jesus came. And the religious people were upset that Jesus would eat a meal with sinful people like that. But imagine being Matthew. Think about also Peter and John. What did they know? What was their life? It was fishing. That's what they knew. They were on a boat for hours at a time. They were gathering fish in their nets. That's how they received income. We understand most likely they learned that from their father. And Jesus comes to them and says, "Follow me." And what do? They leave their nets. They leave their boat. They even leave their father behind and decide that there's a higher calling on their lives than their daily provision, making money, catching fish. And interestingly, Jesus even says to Peter, "You'll no longer only be catching fish. Now you'll be catching people. You'll be a fisher of men." He had a totally transformed life because of his willingness to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. And you know, I think that's what he wants of us still today. Now, in order to enter into relationship with Jesus, in order to become a disciple in the first place, I don't want to give you a list of do this and do that, hoops to jump through, and things that you think you have to do to earn your way to being a disciple of Jesus. To be a believer in Jesus Christ is a fairly simple idea, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. These disciples not only left everything behind and experienced total changes in their life, but the Bible also says that they became like their teacher. They became like their master. They followed him everywhere he went. They listened to all the things that he said. They saw him touch those who were the lepers and the outcasts and the poor and downtrodden. They heard his gracious words from his mouth, and they began to follow him and began to do the things that he did, began to say the things that he said. In fact, we see in the New Testament that they turned the world upside down. These men who once were just fishermen, tax collector, and whatever else all those disciples were, they ended up being the leaders of the first church, people whose lives were totally changed. Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. But what does it mean to be a disciple? Well, like I said, it's simple, but it's not easy. The Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of believing that Jesus is who he says he is and that he did what he says he did. That he died on the cross for your sins, he rose from the grave, and that there's nothing you need to do to earn salvation. He did all the work for you. His expectation of you is that you would believe that you would trust in him, that you would have faith. And yet there are a lot of people who say they believe, but their lives are no different. They say that they believe in Jesus. They would maybe mark a survey. What religion are you? They would mark Christian. But is your life transformed because you believe in Jesus? Is your life different now because you are following Jesus? And that's really what he's after. Not only your salvation, like one of the things that was said by our narrator, not only your eternal security, but also your life in the here and now is totally expected to change. Just like those first disciples. They didn't just say they believed in Jesus and then kept fishing. Matthew didn't say he believed in Jesus and kept collecting taxes. They left it all behind and had their lives totally changed. And he became the most important thing in their lives. And that's why they were used by God in such incredible ways. Again, I don't want to give the impression that you have to earn your salvation. You don't. We know that, right? By grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Again, it's simple, but it's not easy, because he's calling for you not only to believe, he's calling you to trust, and he's calling you to give everything up in order to follow him. Someone has said it's free, but it's not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. It cost the Father his Son. It cost the Son his life. And if you want to follow Jesus, it will cost you everything as well. But the reward is far worth it. How do we know if we're a disciple? What's the evidence? What's the proof if we're really a follower of Jesus? Well, somebody asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? And you know, he could have went to the Ten Commandments. He had 10 to choose from, right? And there were hundreds of other ones in the Bible that he could have chosen as well. But he chose this one as the most important, and you probably know what it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He said, that's the most important commandment. And he said, and there's a second one just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you know if you're really a follower of Jesus? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? And do you love other people as you love yourself? That's the proof. That's the proof. Peter, you know, you heard about Peter, how he denied Jesus, but then Jesus restored him. And a great question was asked, do you need to be restored? That same Peter who was restored by Jesus said this in one of his letters. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. You see, it's all about loving God and loving people. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The Apostle John, one of those who was one of those followers of Jesus who left his fishing, wrote this in one of his letters. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So I guess I want you to consider, what does it mean to be a disciple? Not only what would it have been like to have been one of those first disciples, but in your life now, in the here and now, what would it mean for you to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ in the truest sense of that word? And so I want to invite you today. I want to invite you in a few different possibilities. And I know that we're all in different places, probably, in our spiritual walk. We're all coming from different perspectives, maybe in where we are right now. But I want to invite you along three lines. First of all, maybe you're just kind of in the exploration stage as far as, I'm not sure what this Bible is all about. I'm not sure what the story of Jesus is all about, but I'm interested. and maybe you've never decided to follow Jesus, but you're curious. And I want to say, I have something to give to you, and I'll be in the back after the service, and I want you to come and see me. We have this book that's called What is Christmas and Easter All About? And it's a fantastic little book, and it's got pictures. So it's really easy to read, and you'll like it. But it tells the story. It does a great job of telling the story from the beginning of the Bible to the end, the message of what it's all about, what Jesus is all about, what the Bible is all about. And so I want to invite you, come and see me and take this from me. Really, you don't have to pay anything. It's free, but it's not cheap. I'm going to invite you for that. The second thing is, maybe you would say that you've decided to follow Jesus in the past. Maybe you would say, yeah, I walked the aisle, or I raised the hand, or I said the prayer, or whatever. But you know you haven't really been walking with Jesus on a regular basis. You haven't been a part of a church family. It hasn't really been an important thing in your life. I want to invite you to come and get this book called 30 Discipleship Exercises. Now, if there's 30 exercises in this little short book, it must be really short, easy exercises, right? Okay? So it's not like getting up at 5 a.m. and doing gymnastics or anything, calisthenics. This is easy, and yet it's profound, and it's important. And so if you realize that you say you believe, but you know that you haven't really been following Jesus, I want to invite you to consider, come and get this book from me. And I'd be willing to meet with you and talk about it, or you can read it on your own, or maybe there's a group of people that could read it together. However you want to do it, come and see me. And then the last one is, maybe you know that today's the day that you need to decide to follow Jesus. Just like the good old song, the good old hymn that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That's not a hymn, an old chorus. Today could be the day where you decide, I want to follow this Jesus they've been talking about. We have this book called Living in Christ. It's got four simple lessons on what it means to follow Jesus. And then it has the Gospel of John in its entirety, which is a great place to start if you've never read the Bible before. And so all three of these are available on the table in the back. And I guess what I'm saying to you is, I don't want you to think that it's enough that you came to church on Easter. And I don't want you to think that it's enough that you come to church other times besides Easter. I want you to know that Jesus demonstrated his love for you by giving his very best, giving everything he had to give. And when he called his disciples, he didn't call them just to raise their hand or say a prayer. He called his disciples to give up everything and to follow him. And so I want to challenge you to consider doing the same today. There's a great song on the radio. If you listen to Christian radio, I'd encourage you to do so. But there's a great new song on the radio called So Will I. And just this last couple of days, we drove from Phoenix to Shed and listened to K-Love wherever I could find it. And so I heard this song numerous times. It's called So Will I. But one of the lines in the song is, if he left the grave behind, so will I. If he left the grave behind, so will I. And that's true of everyone who believes in him, everyone who is a disciple of Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for who you are and all that you've done for us. Thank you for what we've been able to sing about today. Thank you for the things we've heard from some of those firsthand characters. Thank you for the messages from your word. Lord Jesus, thank you that you demonstrated your love by dying for us on the cross. You paid the price for our sin that we deserve to pay, but we couldn't pay it because we're not the perfect Lamb of God. You are. We thank you that you are willing to show such love and such grace. But thank you also that we are serving today and worshiping today a risen Savior. Thank you that you did leave the grave behind, that you rose from the dead to demonstrate your power over death, your power over sin, your power over Satan. And Lord, I pray that we would all know what it means, not only to say that we believe in you, but to really follow you, to trust you, to give everything and be willing to follow as a disciple. And Lord, I love the truth that if you left the grave behind, so will I. And I pray that that would be true for everyone here today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, come see me after the service.
Let's stand and close this morning worshiping. Behold our God. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who
has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humbled to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Enjoy your best Easter ever.